You've been listening to Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
Welcome back to Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World. I'm your host, Rainey Petrin, along with my partner, David Carson, who joins us from the UK. Welcome back, Dave.
Thanks, Rainey.
Today, we've been talking about what mentoring is, and we've been basically focusing on one-on-one mentoring. So we thought we'd give an overview of different forms of mentoring, just so that people have kind of a broader perspective on exactly how broad mentoring really is. So, Dave, let's start off with group mentoring.
Okay, Rainey. Well, you know, I'm not sure what it's like in the States, and you can give us an overview of that. But I find that some organizations here in the UK, they may not have, if it's a smaller organization, they may not have enough mentors to go around. And so they would possibly look at group mentoring. Now, you know, when I go in and talk to people about group mentoring, sometimes they say, well, isn't that a bit like action learning sets? I don't know if you've heard of action learning sets, Rainey, in the States.
No, I don't think that's something that's all that well known here, Dave.
Okay, well, that is really a group of people who get together really to solve a problem. And so someone will bring the problem, a group of managers, and they bring the problem, and then they all chip in and start to solve the problem. Now, of course, that's not what group mentoring is about. There is a group of people coming together under the leadership of a single mentor. There are some tricky issues here, particularly around confidentiality. But again, you know, I think if we get the training right and people are able to share in that environment, it really is a helpful outcome for the organization.
I think that one of the things about group mentoring that is good is it does, you know, we sometimes talk about having what we call a primary and secondary mentor. And you can really combine coaching and mentoring in this one model, because you can have what we call a content expert who comes to the group and shares their expertise, while you have the mentor who facilitates the development of individuals. And that kind of works very nicely. The other thing I would say, probably the biggest drawback to group mentoring, is that it does not provide the personal relationship that you get with a one-on-one mentor. And that's, you know, when we've done group mentoring, the most common criticism is, well, you know, it was a worthwhile experience and I enjoyed it and I learned a lot, but I really wanted to have this one-on-one relationship. And unfortunately, one of the ground rules of group mentoring is that the mentor cannot have separate meetings with the mentoree on a regular basis, because it creates disunity within the group. And, you know, and again, you know, we could spend a lot of time discussing that, but we don't have time today. But that is one of the rules that we have to have in order to protect the integrity of the group. So it does have that kind of a drawback. There's also another process, which is senior resource mentoring. Dave, do you want to share that a little bit?
Well, this is a good point, Rainey, and I think this kind of links in some way to the primary and secondary mentor, although not as much, but. You know, we've been, I've mentioned this before, we've run a diversity mentoring program for City of London Police, and as part of that program, we brought in what we would call a senior mentor to come in now and again and to mentor people who were moving through the ranks, and that's been pretty useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great way to use senior management. Well, one of the issues, as you know, Dave, is we generally don't recommend the president of the company mentor someone because of the political issues that are involved in that. And sometimes the very senior people may not be as directly involved in mentoring, but they have a lot to share, and a senior resource model is one that can really access those people in a way that is useful for both the mentor and the mentoree. You know, and that's a nice model.
You raise an interesting point there, Rainey. I mean, you know, we do from time to time have a lot of senior people in organizations who want to be mentors. Would you consider putting some sort of criteria on mentors for a program?
Yeah, I think every program needs to have specific guidelines as to who qualifies to be a mentor as well as a mentoree. And that's just good good practice, because you don't just want anybody to be a mentor. You don't want just anybody to be a mentee. You need to have criteria, whether it's something like years of service, whether it's, you know, performance levels, whether it's recommendation, whatever the case may be, they can vary. But I really think it's important to have that kind of criteria. The other thing I would point out, we talked about primary and secondary mentors a few minutes ago. This is particularly useful when it comes to diversity mentoring, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
As you probably know, we often don't have enough diversity mentors within an organization. And yet we know that if you're a diverse person and you're coming to the company for the first time, you really need to know how to navigate that culture. And the person who's best suited to do that is someone who went through it like you. But if there aren't that many people, then you may need to apply a group mentoring model for that one, or a primary mentor then. And then a few months down the road, you want to reverse that to make sure that we don't reinforce the glass ceiling, but we want to take a diverse individual and pair them with a majority individual as well within the same program as a way of being able to, you know, break down the barriers and enhance diversity within the organization.
I think that's a good point you make there, Rennie. The other, looking at some other methods of mentoring, what about online mentoring and mentoring through technology? Now, you've developed some interesting programs, Rennie, around
that. Yep.
The one thing I wanted to discuss with you, and I know a lot of people are interested, there's a lot of talk in the UK about e-mentoring, and that's the use of email for mentoring.
Yep.
Now, I know we have some quite good thoughts about that one.
Yeah, I think that email for mentoring is a bad idea. I think email is simply a tool to establish types of contact, when we're going to meet, perhaps share agendas and so on. But mentoring has to take place either by phone, by video conferencing, or face-to-face. I think that's really the only way that works very well. And technology, I know we're going to talk about technology in another segment of this program down the road, but technology is out there, and sometimes people confuse technology and think that's going to create the relationship. All the technology could do is to enhance the relationship and primarily assist mentoring program managers in managing mentoring programs, and that really is its value. So it's important to use technology, but it's important to use it in the right way. Otherwise, what we're going to be doing is substituting the relationship for technology and not making anybody happy in the process.
Well, I think that's right, and I think the point you make is a good point regarding the use of email. I think you lose a lot of spontaneity if you don't use the telephone. You know, the times when you're having a conversation and there's a break in the conversation, you know, you can ask, well, what's going on?
Yeah.
And very often you can deepen and develop the relationship. But Rennie, we just had an email in, and this is here's a question. It's from Brian, and Brian writes, hello, everyone. I was involved in a mentoring relationship in an organization some time ago. My meetings with my mentor just seemed to fall away until we just stopped meeting altogether. As we worked in the same organization, I found it sometimes embarrassing if we passed each other in the corridors. You see, we never did come to a conclusion with the relationship. What do you think I should do?
Well, that's a great point that Brian makes, and one of the things that's really important is to know how to end the relationship. And in our programs, we always walk our peers to what we call a completion period, where people really can work out how the relationship is going to end and how the relationship will continue in the future. So at this point, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I want to thank Brian for having submitted his question. We'll talk a little bit more about this further down the road in our shows. We hope you join us next week, where we'll be discussing best practices in mentoring. Email us with your questions and to share your mentoring experience at eradio@management-mentors.com. Thanks for listening to Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World. I'm Rainey Petrin, along with David Carson. We'll talk to you next week when our topic will be best practices in mentoring. See you then, and thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for joining Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson of Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World. If you'd like to learn more about mentoring, visit management-mentors.com. And be sure to tune in every Friday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Business Channel. See you next week.